Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our city council meeting on the budget. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yep. Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Ringstead.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Therian.
Not sure.
I'm here. Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Okay, today is the police budget. It's the only one we're looking at today. We went through, you have your three largest budgets are your police, firefighters, and public works. That's where you're going to see the largest changes. And this one shows that. Chief?
Well, where to start? I assume you guys have a proposed budget that that the department came up with and provided to you. So I guess I'll just start right at the front and go down. So on the organizational chart, you'll notice that there's one position that was added there. Three positions that were added there. Admin assistant, evidence custodian, and the equipment manager. And so, like we talked about previously, the video redaction has become a huge issue. We have evidence custodian that's doing pretty much nothing but doing video editing. We were able to hire a temporary evidence custodian who started on the 1st of November. So we're hoping that her coming aboard helps out the evidence side and is able to take up some of that workload with the video editing stuff. But we asked for that to be permanent in the budget. The admin assistant, we don't have a backup for Judy. So Judy does everything. When she's gone or she goes on leave, she takes leave. Then she's required to essentially, if we have a payroll or something due, she does it while she's gone. We're going to have some time this year. She's going to have a couple of medical procedures. She's going to be out for an extended period of time. So we're going to have to train somebody up as backup. And this is one of the positions that the union also said that they thought that we needed. Equipment manager, we put that, requested that because we have a lot of things that people within the department are tasked with additionally. So right now we have the captain who's running not only the internal investigation side of everything, all of our training, but he's also in charge of all of the equipment, all of the vehicles. So he's handling all of the builds for our patrol cars. He's handling working with Public Works to get snow tires on, to any of the maintenance stuff. He's keeping track of that in the system, the Fleetio system that we have for the city. He's keeping track of all that. He's the one that's coordinating with IT, and we've had to hire an outside contractor to help us with the video camera systems that are in our car. And I believe we're at like $130 an hour for this outside consultant that comes in and works with Nate on the vehicle cameras when something goes down between IT and that individual. So we were looking at what can we do to take some of that work off of the captain's plate, because the vast majority of those items that he's doing is done on overtime. And so, you know, we're paying the captain a considerable amount of money on overtime to do a lot of these things that just, I mean, they have to get done. And so, we thought an equipment manager could come in and take up a lot of that stuff from the captain, or take it off of his plate, and There's other things that we would like to do within the department as well. We have a quartermaster system within our software, our program, to where we can barcode all of our items. It would help not only our department, but also finance when we do, we have to do audits for all the grants that we get grant funding equipment. And you should see this Excel spreadsheet and where the location for everything is. It's crazy. We're going to work on getting that stuff put into our quartermaster system, and that individual would be in charge of all of that as well. The other thing on the salary requests, I also put in a request for the police chief salary. You know, we're doing a good job at looking at the officers and keeping up with the officer salaries and the other employees, but this one is lacking. You know, I put in a request from the 150 to 170. In 2023, all of the lieutenants, including a sergeant at the police department, made more money overall than the police chief. We gave a significant raise to all the officers last year. We're looking at that again this year. If we just look at the pay scale that we've provided to all of you, if we did out the numbers on that for where I would be at on that pay scale, if I was in patrol, and you do out the numbers like we do for the captain and the deputy chief, that number would be $180,889. So I put in that request. Yes, sir. I do not get overtime. I get comp time. Okay. So I'm able to take the comp time, and then I cash out leave. Okay. So. Well, I'm able to, yes. Yes, I carry about 480 hours all the time of comp time. That's the max that we can get. So, yeah. When I go on leave, I put it in, and I'm available. When I go, somewhere, for instance, we were in training last week. As soon as I got to Florida, I was on a Zoom meeting with the negotiating team, doing stuff. I worked on the plane the whole way down, doing contract language and that sort of thing. So, next week, my wife has medical appointments in Texas. I put in to take the comp time, but stuff will come up. I'm sure it'll be on meetings and doing that and be available. So,
Council, what I did was I gave every department head a 3% increase. So anything you want to do other than that or extra, you can do. I kept it the same for everyone.
All right. So let's go down the rest of the line items here. Our training budget, we requested $300,000. This year was $200,000. There's not a whole lot more that we wanted to do, but obviously being a young department, there's training that we just have to keep up with on a year-to-year basis. We have new supervisors that need training. We have three vacant sergeant positions right now, and depending on the schedule that we come out with, we may have some corporal positions if we're able to get into the contract, this new schedule. We would elect to go with some corporal positions instead of the two sergeant positions that we have, and that would require a little bit of training to get the supervisors where we need them. Also, I think we've talked about this in the past, that we pay for our officers to go to the academy. So we know right out of the gate, we have an officer that's attending the Sitka Academy in January, and that's a tune of about $20,000. So we know right there he has to go, and once he completes that training, that's what it's going to cost. If we send anybody else, that's a similar cost. Our lateral employees that we hire, that's $7,000 a piece, and they have to go within 1 year of being hired. So we have two that are going in at the end of this month or next week. They have to go to Sitka. We send them to Sitka for the there's a lateral academy. So $7,000 for the laterals. So we have two of them going this year, and I believe that we have two that have to carry over into next year just because we can't afford for them all to be gone at the same time. And we're also, as the email that I sent out, we're also hiring three more laterals. So they're going to have to go to the academy at some point in time. At least the one that starts in December technically is supposed to go by the end of next year. So that's, two weeks of lateral academy. Uniform and equipment stayed the same. The operating supplies, the biggest expense that we were looking at in 2025 is we wanted to upgrade the capabilities of our less lethal force. Right now we're using beanbag shotgun rounds, which they're good. They're better than nothing, but they're not as effective as the 40 millimeter rounds, which are slightly bigger. So those increase our capabilities and, decrease some liability. Our advertising, this is what we use for all of our promotional stuff. Teal is a rock star when it comes to our marketing for recruiting. So she's utilizing Facebook and some of those online marketing ads to go after and target different areas to try and boost our recruiting numbers for police. And she's pretty successful, as you can see by the number of lateral candidates that we're getting from all over the U.S. We have five that are testing next week, next Wednesday. And some of those are coming from Lower 48, where that advertising is beneficial. We also use the advertising for some local events like the outdoor show. We use that for the entry fees to that, the promotional items that we have at those events, the swag, if you will, the decor for the individual booths. Let's see. Investigative expenses. We use that investigative expense mainly for sending out evidence from cold case crimes to DNA labs. Testing's pretty expensive, but we utilize that to send some of those. If we get leads or we have a new detective look at a case and they come up with some solution or an idea on a different way that we can go with the investigation, we like to be able to allow them to send some stuff out. And we have, I think, three cases right now that are out at external labs that are looking for some specific DNA. I can tell you in the last year we have sent a portion of some recent homicides out that we've gotten some results back that are very promising, and really without that we wouldn't be where we're at with the case. So and the last one is the equipment replacement. We boosted that up to 500,000, and the reason that we boosted that to 500,000 from the 200 is the cost of vehicles is just been increasing. We've been trying to outfit three vehicles per year, and it's just not 210,000 is not enough for us to get three vehicles. Luckily, we were able to send Captain Werner and a lieutenant to the Fleet Expo this year. Captain Werner was able to go out to dinner with one of the guys from one of the companies, walked into his office about a month ago and said, hey, I'd like to fully outfit a vehicle for you. So we purchased two vehicles, and they're giving us all of the equipment that goes inside, all the lights, the cages, the computer mounts, all of that is being provided to the department. So that was pretty amazing.
I put my signature on 30 documents yesterday. For two vehicles.
Yep. So we're really excited about that, kind of all fell into place. So the other part of that is, those two together, I think was $140,000. That's without all of the equipment in there. So, if you add that equipment in, it raises that price just a little bit. The reason that it's so high on there is, we have quite a few, car cameras, the cameras that actually go inside the vehicles that are not functioning. We have, I think, about 12 right now that aren't functioning, or we need to purchase 12 car cameras. Unfortunately, the way that process works is a bit confusing and difficult. So we're looking at a new vendor for our body cameras and car cameras, and we can purchase the cameras outright and put them in the vehicles. If we do that, in order for us to pay, we have to pay for a service for them to upload the video and store the video. With the vendor that we currently have, if we put a new camera in a car, we have to get a 5-year contract with that for that individual vehicle. Our hands are kind of tied, and we're about 3.5 years into the contract that we have with the current vendor. For our body cameras and car cameras. So we've been working with another vendor. Initially, it looks like we're going to want to switch and go with the other vendor. Their ability to get us, same situation if we were to get a car in the middle of the contract that we needed a camera for, we could purchase, get the camera, put it in the car, and then it would just be the remainder of the contract that we would have to pay for the service. And so we're looking at that. There's a couple different ways that we can go about switching those contracts. So that's all in the works, and I'm sure that we'll communicate that with you within the next couple months. But so that's why that equipment replacement was in there.
Council, questions, discussion? Mr. Marnie, then Mr. Ringstead.
Do we have enough vehicles for our staff level right now?
We have enough take-home cars. Where we're running short is our fleet vehicles. So if one of the take-home cars goes down, we have a fleet vehicle that has to, the officers have to drive the fleet vehicle. And with what we have offline, if all of those were fixed and online, we would be, okay. We do have several vehicles that we're waiting on. We have three Explorers coming from California. They're in the build process right now, so we expect those in the next couple months. And then we have three Chevy trucks that are supposed to be on the line December 1st, being built in Texas. And those should be up here, I would imagine, the first part of January. So that will definitely help. And then the two Tahoes that we discussed. So we'll be getting those online as well. With those vehicles, I believe Captain said we can phase out all of the Chargers that we have. We have a lot of issues with the current Chargers. They're high mileage, older vehicles. So we'll be able to start phasing those out and running a fleet of strictly the SUVs and trucks.
Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
I got a couple of questions here. On your positions on the org chart, you said you have an equipment manager position?
Yes.
Which one? Where is that?
Chief, if you go to page 58, you can
see. Well, I'm looking at the org chart.
Your org chart is reflective of the mayor's budget. So the best page to go to is 58.
So that one's not in the mayor's, in the budget.
That is correct.
Okay. You said you got three vacant sergeant positions. I mean, I'm trying to get the picture of your whole department here.
Sure.
You've got some coming, some in the works, moving. I mean, so you got a really a fluid group right now, by the sounds of it.
We do, and we know of, you know, I think.
Of the positions, how many are actually, hopefully the people that go through the training are going to stay. So where are you going to be in March?
In March?
You're going to be generally full of your staff positions?
No, sir.
Budgeted ones?
No, sir. So I believe, I have to look at the numbers again. I believe right now we're at 31 sworn positions out of 39. So I believe we're eight positions down. That doesn't include the four that we've hired. Okay.
So you'd actually be more like four down.
We'd be more like four down. We have a sergeant that's eligible to retire in February. And by all accounts, it sounds like he's going to do. So we know that Corporal Wellborn is going to be retiring midsummer, but he actually has basically terminal leave starting March 25th. So the positions that we've hired, the one gentleman starts in December. We have 4 months from December to get him through field training. So he's not on the road until.
So you're basically breaking even. You've got several in the works, and you got a few going out the door, so you're still not really, your net gain isn't.
Yeah, we're basically even. So we lost Officer Wixon this past month. We're gaining one in December, one's going to the academy in January, and then one in April and one in May. So by the time all of those guys are in training, or done with training, that'll be about the time that Detective Hall will be retiring.
So you said you had three vacant sergeant positions and you wanted to move them.
Yeah, so the schedule that we talked about, that we've talked about, the 12-12-10 schedule, is a squad concept. So there's four squads. Currently we're budgeted for six sergeant positions. So the six sergeant positions is sergeants are 10% above an officer pay. Corporals are 5%. So if we took the two sergeant positions and took the 10% from each of those, you could make four corporals out of the two sergeant positions, and it would be, you know, it would break even as far as the percentage wise for the supervisors go. But that would give you one sergeant per shift and one corporal per shift. So we'd have two supervisors on each squad. And then I believe the four or five officers on each squad.
So now, according to our org chart, we've got two traffic unit positions.
We do.
And we weren't doing that for a while. I think you said recently you've got one doing that.
Correct.
So this is an increase of one on the traffic unit. Or do you have two currently?
We don't have any. We have the two positions, right? Yeah. HSO has given us the grant to fund the two positions. But the way that grant works is we submit, our officer keeps stats on what they do on a daily basis.
So then we
submit their stat sheet to HSO, and they reimburse us for the hours that the officer worked, I believe.
Is it a full-time funded position?
Those two? Yes, they're full-time.
Oh, okay, so both of those are okay.
Yeah, but we're only compensated for the time that we put in on them, right? So right now we have an officer working 2 days a week in that traffic unit position. Oh, so really we're only being paid for the time that he spends doing traffic enforcement.
So it's partially funded.
Ms. Therrien.
Any capital requests? Can we go to that?
I don't think I brought that.
I'll let you submit this.
Okay. So in the mayor's budget, the equipment replacement, we transferred that in the mayor's budget to the capital. So that was 300 for the police vehicles and 200 for the, or sorry, 120 for the car cameras coming out of the capital. And after talking with Mike, we've been talking about this body camera, car camera thing for quite a while. You know, it's a possibility that we could use capital funds to pay for that car camera, body camera. So the way all these companies are working now is everything is a service. Even our tasers, if you believe it, the tasers are a service. So we pay a contract for 5 years and they supply us with all the cartridges for training and this and that. And I think we own the actual tasers themselves, but all the equipment and everything that comes with it, it's all electronic. So you plug it into a computer now. All of that is a subscription-based service. And so they wrap all of that stuff into a package. So the tasers, the car cameras, the body cameras, the cameras for our interview rooms, all of that, including the cloud storage, is all wrapped into one package, if you will.
Okay, so I'm still a little confused. So in the equipment replacement, you've asked 500 and the mayor's recommended 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like on page 113, it's in the red. Or am I looking at that wrong, Margarita?
Yeah, if you, you'll see the negative 420.
Yeah.
He had an additional 408,872. But prior to that, he had 11,128 in the account.
Right.
So that's why it's zero. So yeah, it appears to be negative with the amount we brought in, but he had a balance at the beginning of the year.
So it balanced out, I guess.
Yes, it does with those two.
So under the equipment, why would the mayor only do 100,000 if he's asked for 420? I'm confused.
The mayor is using internal transfers within the capital fund from unassigned to cover the cost of the items. So this year, I probably should go over the capital fund and some of the things that happen within the capital fund. And I can do that if we have time after this presentation. But for some of the departments, the mayor used unassigned to cover the cost of their request. Whereas in prior years, we have used only unassigned for public works. So he spread it across the various departments this year versus just one area or one department. We usually use it for facility or public works equipment.
How many police vehicles are we ordering this year? Or that budget taken into account?
Three was the goal for this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that including the
Brady? Oh, for 2024 or 2025?
25. 25. It wouldn't include it. We ordered those this year.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, that would be under the 2024 budget.
Okay.
Ms. Sprinkle? Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Thuring, go ahead.
So it would seem that if we're still about the same loss of personnel, that the mayor's drop of 40,000 is really going to hurt your recruitment. Is that my understanding?
Drop of what? In what part?
From 50 to 10 under 7,001 advertising.
In the advertising space, yes, it will have an effect for sure. Obviously, there's things that we can do. You know, we do a lot of community events. You see, basically, the deputy chief, the captain, and I, and Teal out a lot of the local events. The deputy chief goes on post and does the recruiting with the military, those sort of things. But really what we use that funding for is the online stuff. She runs Facebook ads, targets different areas, and runs these, they call them campaigns. Part of what we've used that advertising for is our website. We redid our website. I don't know if we're going to do a big push here, hopefully in the next week or so, put it coming out with the
Margarita. Can you bring up the advertising budget, what the expenses were for 2024?
I am not for overhead.
Yes.
The detailed overhead. I do not have, I'm not connected to the overhead projector.
In review of the 2024 budget, we found a lot of items that I could not justify being advertising. So we looked at this and said, okay, what do you need advertising for? Internet marketing, it's minimal cost. So we brought it back to that. There was a lot of items that in 2024 I just not feel were adequately advertising. There are other expenses. So I reduced that significantly.
So where did they go? Did they go at a different line?
No, they were under that line, but they were just, I didn't consider them advertising.
They're not doing them anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
The workshop.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Sanders.
A lot of this stuff, so with everybody's budget this year, we went through line by line by line. We went through, we reviewed every single, purchase, everything for multiple years. With their advertising budget, one of the things that we noticed is that this year and last year, a lot of it was the backside stuff that they had to get done for, to get them prepped for good advertising. It's like their rebranding was very expensive. Their, the new website, we know how expensive those are. All this stuff, they got all that, all the new swag, all that, they got that. And then we're looking to bring it more in line. Like the entire rest of the city uses $20,000 a year for advertising, and it's almost entirely for advertising these meetings. So we felt that the $10,000 was probably accurate there. But the stuff they got was, it was important stuff to do, but it is one-time purchases that no other department has.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I have lots of questions. So you just said $20,000 for every other department.
Right. Your advertising costs in the general fund is only $20,000 for the rest of the city.
Total.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. I misunderstood what you said. Okay. Can I continue? I have some questions. Okay. I'm looking at employee benefits on page 59, and it looks like they've dropped, and I don't know why. Have we lost people, or is this because somebody's lost a benefit? What's the difference here?
It could be the shift in his staffing. As you have new staff, the way this department works is on a step system. So if you have an employee that retires,
okay,
and he's at a 17 step and you bring in someone okay at 4 step, then that means that you're going to look at less cost for personnel and less cost for benefits.
Got it. Thank you. In with regards to medical and evidence, I'm looking at a cut. Is that, that includes rape kits, right?
It does. So that's a really hard line item to budget for, because we do get reimbursed for some of the medical kits that we pay for, but it's not guaranteed. So there's no way to say, yeah, we're going to get X amount back or we can't budget for that. So really what we were doing was trying to encompass everything that we would possibly spend on that, and then what we could get back. I will say we did find that the hospital was charging us for some things that they shouldn't have been. And so after Lieutenant Davis, our investigations lieutenant, figured out, kind of what was going on with some of those kits and stuff, we've put a kibosh to that. And I think it's actually saved us quite a bit lately. We're not paying near as much as we were in that specific line item. So,
If I may continue, like the fire department, we've seen capital schedules for their equipment being brought on or out. Do we do that for the police?
I can tell you Captain Warner's working on it. It's on his list of things about this,
God bless him,
this big to do.
Okay. Because that would help us a lot.
Yes. I know he's working on a list of the, at least the vehicles and, you know, where we're at, how old they are, and coming up with a replacement schedule for those specific things.
I would love that. Because it would, you know, to hear it is
sure
way too hard to keep.
And we can also do that. I mean, and there's a lot of equipment that we could do that with, firearms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's super smart.
And if we got it all into the quartermaster, it would be a heck of a lot easier to keep track
the
of all this.
Magic quartermaster. Okay, so with regards to the new hires, we're using unfilled positions to pay the $60K, right?
Their
bonus.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
lateral
that?
Lateral hires.
Oh, yes.
Are getting $60,000, which is great. We're using it for the people who are not in position to pay for it. So where are we in that budget right now? Are we good? Are we flush to continue paying that out?
For 2024, yes. And so each year it would depend on where the department is in regards to their salary savings. So before we sign off, HR and I will work kind of close together, and I'll defer to Mr. Merritt, if he wants to elaborate on that. But what we do is they verify with me that there is salary savings before we sign off any type of bonus agreement.
Because we're hiring them now for the promise of this lateral $60,000 bonus.
Yes.
But right now you're saying we have that money.
You have the salary savings. And what we do at the end of the year is we encumber, in a sense, any amounts that is owed for the second round.
Okay.
We do that at the end of the year to make sure those funds are available so that we can provide the second payment.
Last question. The training numbers you've got are a great reduction. Will that pay for the police that you have currently got online? Will they get through the training doors with the $75,000, or is it still too short? Because I tried to kept, you said three new laterals, and I forgot how many new.
So we have one going to the academy in January, and three laterals, and two that are going to have to go from this year, carried over into next year. So, I mean,
what's that price tag? I guess is what I'm asking.
41, 50. Yeah.
So that's
right around there, depending on how many we send. We may be able to hold off a couple of those guys to the following year as well.
Because you're not doing them well. This is 2025, so you got enough. You got to have enough. Okay. I'm done for a minute. Thank you.
A brief at ease from Sue, Mr. Cleworth.
To follow up on Sue, I think part of that is he can tap into the general fund training too. I believe, right? Yeah. Okay. Going back to the equipment deal, I understand the mechanics of what we're doing. It's $100,000 coming out of the department and covering their balance with fund reserve and capital. My problem with the accounting part of this is as long as I can remember, we've always budgeted for three cars a year. And that's a tradition that we need to keep. We want to always stay. The most important thing to me when I look at a budget is, are we maintaining the infrastructure? Before we add all the peripheral to it, are we taking care of what we have? And the $300,000 we always put in there was, in theory, to cover three cars approximately. If we take it out or reduce it to $100,000 and cover it with fund balance, we're not really reflecting the true cost of the department. I would prefer to change the budget and put the $300,000 back in, not do the fund transfer, and then you get a truer picture of what it costs to run a police department, and protect that number, because sooner or later you're going to get below your $5 million over there, and then we can't pull this rabbit out of the hat again just using fund balance. So I'd make a strong pitch that you you put it in the budget, even though you've got that extra money in capital, but you put it in the budget to reflect the cost of the department, and you protect it for chiefs to come.
Is that as an amendment?
Well, if only if there's a consensus of everybody, but I would say let's just keep the $300,000 there. And
Marguerite, yeah. Could you start making that transition for it? It sounds like we have concurrence with that. Anything else, Mr. Clayworth? Then we go to Mr. Ringstead, no, then we go to Mr. Ringstead, then Mr. Marnie, then Ms. Sprinkle.
So can you talk a little bit about where we're at? It sounds like our lateral hire, we've gotten a few, we're getting a few more. I mean, we've lost a lot of our seniority, and that was a concern a year ago with retirement and what have you. So in terms of your department now, as you're bringing this next group on, I mean, for a while there, I was afraid we had a bunch of, you know, a whole staff full of freshmen, right? But I kind of where are you at in terms of the experience, the personnel, the training of what you've got as a whole?
Yeah, so Deputy Chief can weigh in on this too, but, you know, we're still extremely young department. You know, we have Sergeant Hancock was the most recent sergeant that we promoted. I think he has 2 years with the department. And, you know, part of the problem with the laterals is they have some policing experience. It's just not necessarily in Alaska. And it takes quite a while for them to get the Alaska laws under their belt. You know, we deal with the district attorney's office who's dealing with the same issues that we are. They have a fairly young staff, so they're working through their processes as well. So, you know, to get our officers up to speed with them, it's a quite an extensive process year wise. I mean, I think even with the laterals that we're getting, for them to be comfortable doing the job in Alaska, in Fairbanks, working with our system, working with our laws, probably 4 years before they're really functional, operating on their own without a lot of guidance from the lieutenants.
So going forward, I mean, we're getting laterals, which is good to have some experience,
mm-hmm.
but we're still a few years to get there. This isn't right. happening overnight.
I mean,
even if we bring in a whole bunch more people, you're still going to have the problem that they're all new.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on who you bring in, right?
Right.
If I went next door to AST and said, hey, I need five troopers who wants to come over, and we're willing to pay them to come over, you know, that's a different story. If we have a trooper that's been working in Fairbanks for the last 3 years, you know, they use a similar system to what we have. You know, it's some report writing and our policies and procedures. A lot different than coming from a whole nother state that does, you know, search warrants and everything's different. So, yeah, just depends on who you're hiring.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I got three questions. First to you, Margarita. Where are they sitting on their overtime at this point?
The current overtime for this department.
Just over 600,000.
Yes.
Is where you are now?
We just posted another payroll. So they're at 439,000. 648, which is a little 140 over budget, 40,000 over budget.
Okay, second thing, on the equipment manager. That to me would be a perfect position for a retiree to come back in, say as Corey Roop.
Most definitely. Corey on the road.
Beggars can't be choosers.
True.
And then the third thing, I'm really concerned about the mental health side of your profession. Sure. And I want to do more about that than what we currently do. I don't know where we would put that in the budget.
I have an idea for that. I've talked with Mike a little bit yesterday. As a matter of fact, the training that we were just at was a mental health officer, mental health and wellness, deals with line of duty deaths, suicides, and officer wellness. And so I think we have a plan maybe for the entire city, if not just for the public safety side of it. But I think it could be relatively inexpensive and probably maybe able to put it through risk as it would be a preventative maintenance, if you will, with the officers. So it's still in the works, but I have some policies and procedures coming from other agencies that have implemented programs, so where people can get some counseling or required to get some counseling and kind of, you know, yearly maintenance, if you will. And I think, you know, not just in the public safety realm, but probably the whole city would benefit from it.
That's a good idea. Thank you.
Under the general account, there is an account that's medical. And in the first budget amendment of 2024, you expanded the definition to include wellness. So anything that we do would fall under that particular account, under the general account.
And it's medical. It's 5354.
Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Therrien.
Say, I thought maybe you were mentioning that right now the equipment manager is, that work is being handled by, is it Nate?
Yes, Captain Warner is doing, he's keeping track of all of the vehicles that we have. So he works
like
with
a lot of his, it's extra work, right? And he's trying to be a...
Most definitely. So we put on we have a training class going on right now up at UAF. He was able to get Alaska Police Standards Council to pay for that training. We have eight of our officers in that training. That's running from 8 o'clock till 4:30 at night. When I came in here and talked with you guys on Monday night, he was still in his office doing other stuff. When I went home, I had to kick him out of his office and tell him to go home. Him and the deputy chief are here nonstop. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not claiming all their hours.
Well, I just think that position might be something that we should fund, take that off his plate.
I think it would be a huge benefit, not just to the police department, but like I said, with our grant, the grant funding that we have, the equipment that we go through, I think it would help tremendously with that side as well.
So I don't know where that goes. I'm just throwing it out to our council to say, Nate does a lot. Sounds like we need to do something like this to take pressure off our people.
Ms. Therrien, then Mr. Ringstead.
I think that the police chief's salary is too low. I think we should change it to $160,000. And I'd like to suggest that.
Is there a concurrence with that? Margarita, could you please make that adjustment?
And,
Ms. Therrien?
And I also think...
I don't concur with that, Mayor. How did you get that?
Sorry. So we have a dispute here. Let's talk about the increase of the chief's salary. Mr. Clayworth.
I always have a problem with singling out one position, especially at this part of a budget. You've got other department heads, and then you start to get in this... He said, this isn't the proper place to do it or the time, and you're going to do it, you need to do it with all department heads. But I have a real problem with that. I mean, if you're making $140,000, you're making $500 a day, and most of us in the world, that's a bit of money. So, anyway, I just say at this point, I would rather you not do that.
So. Was she dead? Were you
dead? No, I really wasn't. Given that other people in his department make $188,000, I just think that it should be higher than what's proposed. And I guess we can do that when we get to the budget
you have
amendment.
Salaried and you've got hourly, which
actually,
get overtime.
It's perfect to discuss it now because it's on the table.
Yeah.
And this is where you should probably really get into this line item veto with the chief here. Now, Chief, how do I explain this? I was going to put you at 160,000 also. No, I have to be consistent with everyone. But I encourage you to take this before the city council.
Yes, sir.
So I have to be consistent. You're worth every penny.
You appreciate really that.
So.
So if it helps, the APD chief is at 210,000. My counterpart that I went through the academy with that runs AST is just over 300,000. The Juneau Police Department just hired a brand new chief. He's at 164,000 a year. When Doug leaves, I will be the most senior employee with the Fairbanks Police Department at over 20 years with the city.
My next thing is
well,
that,
let's get back to this concurrence, whether we're going to give the chief a raise, your recommendation 160 or not. Any other discussion? Then we can just take a vote. Yes, Mr. Ringstead.
This is it's a funny thing. I mean, I think the responsibility we put on the chief should get paid more than his employees do. You know, I found out a number of years ago that our CEO over at Golden Valley was making significantly less than his employees. So they jacked his compensation up substantially. And it became a game, you know, and pretty soon we're paying 30 cents a kilowatt, right? I think, you know, quite frankly, I don't know that we have to be consistent among our directors. It's a very different job to be a chief of police than being a director of something else. I mean, they're all different skill sets and they're all different markets, you know, for what you're getting. I think if you pull the overtime out and they're not working the overtime, then they're probably not, they're going to be less. But I don't know. I mean, the pay scales, he doesn't get the overtime, they get the overtime. He puts in probably more hours than they do. So at some point, you can look at it and say, if we're not going to have all these guys doing the overtime, well, then he's still making more than they are. But in my mind, the question is more is what is that position worth to us? Mm-hmm. And what is the market that's out there? Like he was saying, I mean, he's going to be the best deal in the state here pretty quick, right? But I think we need to look at each of these and say, okay, what is that position? What is the market out there? What is it worth to us? And what are our priorities? You know, I don't have a problem bumping it up some. I think that, you know, that's the world we live in.
Ms. Tidwell, then Mr. Marnie. Okay, Ms. Tidwell.
Didn't you say that if you were not working as the chief, if you were working in a different capacity with the step part where you were at because of your time with the city, you would be significantly higher?
Yeah, so the calculation that I was giving you was with the pay scale that we've introduced, you know, and I think the contract will go through. But if I was on that pay scale, we pay the captain 6% above the lieutenant pay scale. We pay the deputy chief 12% above the lieutenant pay scale. So if you followed that math and paid the chief 6% above the deputy chief, that'd be 18% above the lieutenant pay scale. And you put me at the 20 step for 20 years of service within the lieutenant pay scale, the base salary on that would be $180,889. And if I can also say, you know, and I think I brought this up last year, is we have to stay consistent or at least competitive with other agencies, because I'm not going to be here forever. There is a point in time where I'm going to retire. And if you don't keep up with the cost, the guys that are sitting behind me aren't going to be able to take that kind of pay cut to come down and do this job. And I really don't think that you want to go outside with somebody that's willing to come in and do the job for, a whole lot less money. I think it just creates an issue. So,
yeah, it doesn't sound to me like we've kept up, like comparatively to the other departments in the state, like by far. So I mean, I'm in favor of increasing his salary.
Mr. Cleworth.
John, for your information, the head of Golden Valley has a $500,000 package. Yeah. Which is outrageous.
Yeah.
And, okay. The difference here, you can be a salaried employee, you can be an hourly one. The hourly ones get the overtime, they can make more money. That's true in any organization. I used to do accounting for TV companies, and their top dog never made as much as their salesman did. And that was just the way it is on things like that. My biggest concern here is, I like the chief. Chief, I love you. I think you're doing a great job and all that. But my problem is we've got a lot of people doing a great job in this city.
I agree with you.
And if there is one person that should probably be paid the most money, and she's sitting right there, if you're going to lose her, you've lost a lot. But you start playing that game, and you've got a lot of department managers. They all deserve it. You can make the same argument for any one of them. But right now we have an IBEW contract. He's IBEW. This is what you pay. This is what's been negotiated by contract.
What we're going to do is, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll, yes or no, for raising the chief's salary?
You're not doing that. You're not making.
You don't want to do it here now?
No, we can do it now.
You can do it by consensus of the majority want to go ahead and do it at here.
Okay. Is there a consensus of the majority of the council who wants to do this? Yeah. I'm just seeing a lot of nodding yes. So, Ms. Bell, would you please put in $160,000 for the salary of the chief? Now, a number of years ago, me and Jerry were city council members. And a mayor gave us a budget with a $100 reserve. And I promised myself I would never, ever, ever do that to you, because what it forced the council to do was make the cuts. So my philosophy in a budget is go through as hard as you can what you believe is needed, and then let the council put back in. It's much easier that way. That's my philosophy. So we go on. Any other questions? Yes, Ms. Therian.
So, Chief, the equipment manager that you were talking about, is that the 58-240 on page 58?
Yes.
Okay. And if we put that equipment manager in, then the captain's going to have more time to be a captain.
Most definitely.
And can work harder to make sure the department's working.
Yes, for sure. I had a conversation with him actually yesterday. We were talking about the retail theft program, and he's like, Chief, I just don't know how I'm going to fit it in with everything else. And I'm like, the mayor's got this opportunity. We have to go forward with it. So he'd probably be ecstatic.
And is there anybody else other than at a captain level that can do this work? Is there somebody else we could burden this job with?
I'll be honest with you, there is. We could assign it to an officer to do. We've asked if anybody wants to do this. It's all going to have to be done on overtime. So regardless of whether a captain does it or a patrol officer does it, there's no time on duty for a patrol officer to do it. So it would have to be an extracurricular thing after hours.
And what would that cost? Marguerite, do you have any idea?
Overtime or for the position in full?
No, the overtime to take over that.
I would have to get a feel from the chief how many, hours he thinks that it would require. If we were looking at a 2080, and I would need to also know, what police, if it's a police officer, what step that individual, it can range for the department depending on all of those factors.
Okay. Well, I would highly recommend that we put in that equipment manager. I don't think a captain should be doing that type of work.
Mr. Ringstead.
Valerie, you said the 58,240, which is up here online, the equipment manager, the note in the bottom says the total cost for that position is $90,950. I'm assuming that includes benefits and other things?
That is true.
So now we're talking $91,000 for that position. I'm not quite sure what I think of it yet.
Is that with benefits and everything?
Yes, that is correct. The $90,000 includes the benefits and the wages.
And what hourly rate is that person being paid at?
We budget that one at, I think we used a clerk position, if I'm not mistaken, but the hourly wage would be $28.
Can we find somebody at a lesser rate to do that type of work?
It would be a part of, in order to bring the position in, we would have to go to the union, add it to their schedule. They would probably more than likely base it on other positions that are within their schedule. So I would think that it could be negotiated at a lower, but we would have to go to the union and have it added.
Mr. Marnie, then Mr. Ringstead.
So I'm going to go back to the dead horse here, the overtime. Do we have a plan? I mean, I'm surprised we haven't had to do a budget adjustment for that increase, but I know we have salary savings. That's the saving grace.
You say a lot. That's mean.
I have nightmares on that. But do we have a plan? I mean, if we cut your budget to $100,000 on overtime, that's not realistic. You'll never achieve, you'll be over that in 3 months.
Well, I think the holiday pay is a separate line
item. It's in a separate line item, Mr. Cleworth. Holiday overtime is in a separate line.
So do we have a plan?
For
to try to whittle it down.
To reduce overtime?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, it really, if you tell me that that's all that we have, then we'll put a stop to it. Like, if you arrest somebody 15 minutes before your shift is over, we'll figure it out. We'll send somebody, you know, to do the paperwork. We'll send somebody else to go do that. I mean, we'll work with what we have. I guess what it comes down to at the end of the day is, what kind of service do we want to provide? That's really, you know, what we have to ask ourselves, and what kind of service do we want to provide for the community? We're short four hours a day right now. Some of that overtime is in the shift. Some of it's court. If we don't care if people are going to traffic court, then we won't mandate that they go to traffic court on overtime. You know, I can put a kibosh on the deputy chief and the captain doing the extracurricular stuff that they do. But it's going to affect the operations of the department at some point.
So why don't we plug a real number in there instead of faking ourselves?
Well, you all hold it. You know, it's a salary savings that is funding it. Now, if you take your salaries and leave it there, then you're going overtime. You're blowing your budget. When it all comes from the same pot anyway. You know, when we first started this 2 years ago, we just went 20%. Now they're at about a 13.5% factor on overtime. It's paid for from their salaries. So right now you have a factor of about, in this budget, $150,000 of actual overtime that's not covered by salary savings. So we work on that, but if you want to throw overtime again way up there, reduce your salaries. It's the same pot. So that's how we did it. Ms. Sprinkle?
Well, so you just said that. Should the overtime be 150?
What's that?
Should the overtime be then 150? You've just said that was...
That's what we're projecting this year, is after salary savings to be. So it's, you know, we're trying to be more efficient with overtime.
Sure, sure.
I would say in August, we'll know how efficient we are. for a potential budget adjustment then.
Okay.
And, but remember, it's the same pot of money from the salaries. So, Mr. Ringstead.
I got a couple of different issues. On this overtime thing, I mean, we're going through all of our budgets, and as the year goes on, we're not filling positions that we funded, and the money goes to the overtime. If we're spending the money anyway, we got to figure out whether or not we want to get more bodies in there doing the work on a regular schedule and do less overtime. And then we're back to the issue of providing the service. But we seem to be just moving the money around throughout the year from one account to the other. And all that is paperwork, and she keeps our books right. You know, in terms of a policy call, it's like pay me now, pay me later. We're paying either way. So I think there's a discussion we probably ought to have about, okay, should we put more emphasis in saying, let's fill the vacancies and not need the overtime, or just say, okay, we're not going to fill the vacancies for whatever reason, and then we better have the overtime. Or the third option then is provide less service. You know, I mean, our job is to figure out what we can afford now and how much of the services can we pay for? That's the question we got to deal. He's giving us, here's the service we want to provide. That's his job. So I think at some point we got to kind of deal with that and have that discussion about, and it seems to me that's in every department. We're just taking money from here and putting it over there. And then at some point we balance and make the adjustments and make the books right. As opposed to we spend a lot of time saying we want this, 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 and this, and, well, those positions don't get filled anyway, so why did we bother? Let me back up on a different or a prior issue here with your equipment manager. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now you've got other people doing that. Is that really a full-time job, just managing the equipment? Or is this... I mean, you're just piling work on whoever can talk into it. But, I mean, I don't know what the workload is for an equipment manager for a department that size. I just don't have a grasp for it.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of work. You know, we have all the body cameras, all the car cameras. There's constant work that needs to be performed on all of those things. And really, right now, it is. It's all going to the captain. He's packaged. We have a body camera that goes down. He's the one packaging it up, contacting watch guards, sending it out, figuring out when the replacement's coming in. If the system goes down, he's the one that's contacting IT, contacting watch guard, figuring out how to get it back up and running. Anything with the vehicles, that's all him. He's working with Public Works. Like yesterday, he's in class. He's working with Public Works on requisitions and the POs for the cars.
But I guess then I got to ask the question, then who's doing his captain's job? Yeah. You know, I mean, we're just moving stuff around. We put all this on paper and make it look pretty. But now in the real world, what's happening? You know, something's not getting get done if he's doing this job instead of that job, and we're probably paying him too much to be the equipment manager.
And like I said, he's putting in a lot of hours.
Who other than you doesn't get overtime?
I'm the only one next door. Well, Christy. Devil. Me and Christy.
Yeah.
Ms. Therian.
How much of the captain's overtime do we anticipate? Does the captain get overtime?
Yes. And how much that is position that? Earns overtime. And I can, do you want the real amount of overtime for that position?
Yeah.
For him specifically?
I can provide you with that information.
Yeah, because if we're paying overtime for this captain, I think maybe we can reduce the 58 or 90,000 down a little bit, but I think a captain should be doing captain's work. If not, maybe we could have a clerk do it or something. But for a captain to package up equipment when that just seems ridiculous to me. Yes.
Any other discussion?
Margarita asked if we had an admin, could they do a portion of that as well? And so I think the answer is yes, they could. They could, you know, whatever the title that you give it, you know, we could come up with a position that does multiple. I mean, any extra body would have plenty of work to do, and we can come up with a list of things for them to do.
Ms. Sprinkle?
So, Chief, am I hearing you say that, I'm not going to assume anything, but could the admin assistant position be helpful in being part of the equipment manager? Could that be a combined effort?
Sure.
Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, I mean, it could, yeah.
Out of the box is all good. Okay. Just playing. I'm playing a game with that one.
Sure.
Okay.
This will be an item we come back to on our wrap-up as the equipment manager. Ms. Belka, you put that in our notes. Mr. Ringstead.
You know, I just think you had talked about our changes to your proposal here. I mean, at some point, I think we've got to, as we make changes, as much as we're kind of sort of making consensus and sort of side and do this, you know, in a couple of weeks here, we got to look at the whole package and say, okay, this is how much we think we can spend. And now I have to choose between these changes we make. So if we make them today, we might decide that by the time we get all done, that other department's got a higher priority than this department does. So in terms of our making our changes today, I look at that and say, I'm not sure I'm ready for a final decision on any one of these yet. So we got to come back to all of it and say, let's
just a little bit of time.
We got to get through these, but at the other end, we have to make changes or decisions between departments, not just within them.
Ms. Sprinkle.
What did we decide on the equipment replacement?
What you're doing is yes.
Okay, just meant, okay. Okay, thank you.
And that'll put more in your capital fund.
Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell.
I had two questions. We always refer to the risk money. Where does that live? When we say the risk money?
There's actually a risk fund that handles all of your claims and judgments, your insurance.
So it's not in the budget.
It is not a budgeted.
Okay. It's just a
it's
fund
based
that
on
you
actual
have.
Occurrence.
But is there like an amount? Like, do we know the balance of that fund?
Yeah. That fund is funded by transfers from the general fund for the general insurance and property taxes. There's a specific line item to recover the full cost with the exception of general insurance. For the risk fund.
Under the claims and judgments of the tax cap, so at the end of the year, okay. She trues it up?
Yep.
Okay.
It does not show in your budget. It's not a budget. In the finance committee, you do look at the different funds and what's happening. There are multiple funds that you have that you don't see or budget for. Permanent fund. You have also the risk fund. You have your grant fund. These are various funds that just kind of house different types of special revenues and expenditures.
So if we're taking money in or out of that, does it show up anywhere?
When you're seeing the general fund side, that's the side you're budgeting. So any transfers from the general fund into your risk fund, you also have the parking garage, which has its own fund. And if you transfer there, you will see what's happening on the general fund side, but not you don't see what's happening on the other side until you get to the audit.
So
you're not budgeting
those
funds.
You're telling me we don't budget all of our city money?
No, you do not budget.
But who's in charge of that?
Well, first of all, you don't know what your risk is going to be. So that's a reimbursement. And that's from the budget. That's from a specific real estate tax that you put on.
Right.
But it would show in the audit.
It shows in the audit. You can see everything that's happening with those different funds.
It's accounted for, Ms. Ring said, it's accounted for as it comes up.
And your grant.
From a structural point of view, we're supposed to do the budgets And it's accounted for that way because some city council in the past apparently set it up that way. But if you're going to do the whole budget, and
so you can sit here and do a whole budget, you can sit here and do a budget on the suits that come in and the risk right now, and do that for the next year. That's you just can't do that. So what we do is when that happens,
you're backdating, and all you're doing is backdating. But somewhere every year we do that.
So it's virtually unlimited. We have certain things that we put in there, and then we pay it back, whatever it may be.
That is correct. As the mayor mentioned, your risk fund and your grant fund are based on what you spend. When you approve directly, really, the grant fund, when you approve a grant, you're approving us to add a revenue and to add an expense for that particular grant. When it comes to the risk fund, you establish that risk fund in code, and it is to cover all of the costs that you have. You created a special fund that covers any cost that we have throughout the year, and then we apply whatever cost it is, with the exception of the general insurance, and as property taxes when you approve the mill levy.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I believe I heard that the wellness aspect of the mental health component was going to be funded through the risk fund.
It's funded through the general account, which is under your general fund.
Okay. Thank you.
I had one other little one that's totally different. Just under 7209, the medical and evidence in 23, what happened between 23 and 24 where it went from 85 to 175?
We had a pretty significant increase in the cost of those individual kits. We get some of that money back. I don't know where we're at this year. We're under.
Yes.
I think in January is when we get our next quarterly, reimbursement. They do their reimbursements on a quarterly basis, so we don't know how much we're actually getting back until we apply for it, basically, from the state. The state has a pot of money, and then they divvy that up between all the agencies and how much is spent for it.
And then when we do get money paid back for it, where does that money go?
That goes under your general fund revenue account. Under intergovernmental, there's a line item for SART.
Okay.
And to date, they have spent $52,615 in that line item.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marney.
Well, I want to go back to a statement you made earlier where the hospital was overcharging us. Did we actually go after them or at least have a conversation?
When I say overcharging, they were doing exams on people they didn't need to do exams on.
So that's fraud.
I think they thought that they needed to do the exams for these individuals. And it was, if I'm correct, it was child exams when they came back. We had a conversation with them and we shut it down. And that's why it went from the 85 to 175. We thought there was going to be this big influx of these kits. We were doing the SART exams, yeah, the forensics exams. We were doing, X number per month, and we were like, man, this thing is skyrocketing, and the cost went up by like $500 a kit or something like that. So we thought that was going to be a huge expense. When Lieutenant Davis found out that we were doing these exams on things that we didn't need the exams for. And so she put a kibosh to that and said, we'll tell you when we need the exam. And she's got that squared away with them now. I think it's really reduced the amount. I think there was one month we didn't actually even have one. So that was pretty amazing.
Ms. Sprinkle.
You say you bumped it up to 175 because, oh gosh, it's going to get crazy. But you kept that number for this year, so you knew it was reducing, and then the fact that you'd already asked the hospital to stop it. What's the truer number then?
Whatever we spent. I mean, Again, you know, it's hard to budget for something that we don't know that we're getting reimbursed on. So, you know, the actual number may be 40,000. That is what's going to actually have to come out of our pocket at the end of the day versus, you know, 100, 175.
So if we stayed with the 100,000 and saw how things went, we can always
I think you'd be just fine at 100,000 now. Margarita, it's what?
We're at 52.
Yeah.
52. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure we're not hurt anybody by dropping the cost.
And I mean, you know, we have to pay for it. So, you know, the worst case scenario is I have to come back and go, hey, I need a budget amendment for X amount. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some money back from the state when this happens.
Thank you.
So speaking of that, so with the training costs we talked about, the academy and stuff, we do have, there are times when APSC, the Alaska Police Standards Council, will reimburse us as well. It's kind of the same thing. If they have money, then they'll give us a portion back or pay for a lateral or something like that. So there are times when we do receive money back for that. And I believe it works the same way. I think it goes into the general fund.
I guess, and to that point, if we thought the $75,000 for training isn't enough, you come back and say, hey, I got a new hire. I really need to get this guy up on. But $75,000, it's a big difference, but that should get us on board.
And we've increased that over the last couple of years. We've done quite a bit of training, and so, you know, if it's reduced down, we'll deal with it. You know, like we said with the overtime, if that's what we need to do, we'll make it work.
But you can come back and say, hey, we've got a really
You better believe I'll be back.
We got to do this.
If I think that we need it, if the department needs it, I'm going to come back and ask you for it. Okay. Yeah, most definitely.
Ms. Therrien.
Yeah, if you look at page 5 under the general fund revenue summary, you see a transfer to risk fund of $200,000. But that doesn't identify what the $200,000 is going to be.
It's for general insurance.
Right.
And that is... all other costs under that fund is covered by the property taxes, except for that general insurance. And that was at the instruction of our city attorney that that particular insurance cost does not fall under claims and judgments.
Also, a couple of weeks ago, we had a executive session, you will recall, and that was from the risk fund. As a mayor, I can only go up to $10,000. The city council reviews and approves anything above that expense, which you did. Mm-hmm. So it comes to you as it occurs. Any other questions before we adjourn?
Can we get an idea of what we have for claims and judgments against us?
For today?
Yeah.
Are
definitely less than we were last year. Maybe I can give you that.
We are today.
Like a
Munis ninja
over there. I'd still be on the homepage. Let's so log in.
And we're talking about total, including insurance and claims, or
what? I just want to know claims and judgments.
Oh, claims and judgment. Okay, just give me a second here. And it's giving you the full amount.
Every year when we set the mill rate in May on that form that she gives us, mm-hmm. it shows the claims and judgments for the prior.
I'm just curious. I understand.
Yeah. That's a good question. Okay, I wonder what that number is too, Valerie.
Yeah.
The total this year for claims and judgments so far is $206,682.
Say that again, please. $206,682. That's what we've paid out so far?
So far in claims and judgments. Yeah. Last year
it was like $1 million.
Any other questions?
That's a lot.
Okay, and we'll come back to the equipment manager. And Margarita, tomorrow, could you give us an update of our balance after our adjustments?
Yes, I can give you an update.
Chief, thank you very much. So appreciate it. And everyone, I encourage you to talk with the chief in regards to your questions, and we'll do a wrap-up with everything at the end of next week.